Well, if you will open your Bibles with me, we are in Philippians chapter 1. I'm going to share a message for moms, but also for all of us. It's always a challenge for me when it comes to special times, what the Lord would have me to share. Last year I shared on the Proverbs 31 woman. Started down that route earlier this week, but the Lord took me in a different direction. So we'll say goodbye to Proverbs 31 woman for a moment. And look at Philippians chapter 4. Does anyone need a Bible? Everybody's got a Bible? Philippians chapter 4. While you're making your way there, I just want to say, as I stand here behind this pulpit for the first time in 4 weeks, how thankful I am for a church that's supported me in prayer during my back problems and my back issues. You know, the Lord has taught me through this the need for prayer, the dependence that we have on prayer, and that all of us need to be prayed for. And so I thank you for each and every one of you who have prayed for me and lifted me up. I had a surgery, what is it now? Well, a week and a half. Yeah, Wednesday, a week. This coming Wednesday will be 2 weeks. Immediate relief from the leg pain, so that was an amazing thing, and I just thank you. The healing process is going great, but I thank you as a church for standing up under this, because I know it can be very difficult not seeing the pastor here for several weeks, so I thank you for standing with me through that, and very grateful to be back to what God's called me to do. So again, I cannot say thank you enough, and I'm here to serve you in any way to try to pay you back for that. And I just want to thank Pastor RJ. I guess he's not in here, but I want to thank him for stepping in, and Trent for stepping in and sharing the messages, and Scott on Wednesday nights. You know, just great to know there's other men in the church that can step into that role when I need it. It was very hard for me, I got to tell you, to step out of that. I tried for many weeks to stay in it, but it just got to the point where if I wasn't going to rest it, it was never going to get better. So again, I just can't thank you all enough. So Philippians chapter 4. Again, this message that Paul is talking to the church at Philippi, it's certainly for all Christians. But as I think about mothers, and as I was praying about mothers, God led me truly to this these verses as an encouragement for moms, certainly, but an encouragement for all of us to really be dependent upon the Lord. And so before we get into the word, as we always do, let us bow our hearts and ask God to bless his time and his word. Father, again, we come to you with expectant hearts. Lord, your word is so powerful. It speaks life into our souls. And for probably many of us in this room, just getting here this morning may have been a challenge, may have been difficult, whether physically, spiritually, emotionally. Lord, but we're here. And I pray, God, that you would speak to each and every one of our hearts, mine included. Lord, as we sang that last song, it so ministered to me at how I need you, Lord, and how each of us need you in this room. And so, God, as we confess our need to you, we pray that you would meet that need. And as we study your word, Lord, honor your word, for we know you will. And we are expecting it to do great things in us and also through us. So bless this time, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. A mom had just put her son down to bed on the eve of his 5th birthday. She was trying to communicate to him what the birthday idea was all about. And she said, "Kevin, this is the last night of your 4th birthday. Do you understand that? For a full year, he has shown people 4 fingers to let them know how old he was. In the morning, he would add the thumb." Seeing his 4 fingers, his mother nodded and said, "When you go to sleep tonight, you'll still be 4 years old. But do you know how old you'll be when you wake up in the morning?" Kevin nodded enthusiastically. He added his thumb and he said, "Yes, Mom, I'm going to be a handful." This boy's going to be a prophet as well. A handful. And when I think about that story, it reminds me of a time when I was young, and I can't remember how old I was. And I don't want anybody to give, I don't want to give my mom a bad rap for giving me NyQuil at a too young of an age. But I can remember having a cold. And I remember my mom, I mean, I can picture it like I was standing there in the bathroom on our 2nd floor, and I had this cold, and my mom said, "Okay, Rob, she called me Robbie. She goes, "Robbie, I'm going to give you this medicine, this NyQuil, and you're going to fall right to sleep." And I looked at her bewildered, and I said, but will I be able to make it back to my bed? I mean, it's kids say the darndest things, right? It's like, literally, I thought I was going to drink it and pass out in the bathroom. It's like, but kids just say the darndest things because they're pure in heart. But it's an attitude that we see in these two stories of how moms care for their kids, how they love their children, and how they just day in and day out want the best for their kids and will do what they can to treat them, to care for them. You know, most of you know, if not all of you know, my mom has passed away many years now. It's been 4 years. I think it's been four. Well, actually, no, it's been 7 years. Wow. My wife's mom, she's been passed away for many, many years. Early in our marriage, she passed away. So, you know, we haven't had our moms with us for many years, and it's those times, and probably some of you in this room don't have your moms with you any longer as well. But wouldn't you love to say thank you just one more time? And as I was thinking about that this morning, I would love to just tell my mom thank you one more time for all that she did. Listen, you know it. I know it. Moms aren't perfect, but they do their best. And I always like to remind us that we don't honor the person, we honor the position. The position of a mother, it's a huge responsibility, right? Moms do things tirelessly, day in, day out, behind the scenes, many times without thanks, right? I mean, I can remember going home almost every single day. Laundry was done, food was made, house was clean. I didn't pay attention. I didn't say, thanks, Mom, for spending all day doing my laundry. I never did that. But I'd love to tell her thank you today. So we look as Mother's Day as an opportunity for us to remember and to honor our moms. And like I said, for some of us, it's fond memories. For other of us, not so much. But I know in my life, and probably in yours as well, there were women in my life that acted on and loved on me just as much as my mother did. I've got more second mothers than I have friends. You know, it's just amazing how these other women were just so loved on me and made me who I am. And my mother's character is a lot of who I am. And so, again, we want to thank them. You know, I found this. The woman who actually instituted Mother's Day, her name is Anna Jarvis. And she started doing this. Let me get this right. In 1905, she started to propose this to Congress. It took until 1914 for actually the official holiday to take place. But she said this: a mother is the person who has done more for you than anyone in the world. Wow. Even before we even get to the age where we understand what moms have done, they've done so much for us, right? And I think about the young moms in our church, those that have the first child or the second child, or some of you crazy people, fourth and fifth and sixth children. Okay, you better be praying. But that's the heart behind this. Moms have done so much for us. It's a time for us to remember moms, and it's a time for us to encourage you to keep on doing what you do. Because again, it's a tireless job. And so I want to remind us all, and as we look to Philippians chapter 4, picking up in verse 4 itself, this is a powerful area of scripture that Paul speaks to the church, but it speaks, I believe, also to mothers in their need and their dependence upon God. Read with me in verse 4, Philippians chapter 4. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me," Paul says, "these do, and the God of peace will be with you." Such a great area of scripture, but the first two verses, verses 4 and 5, I love the fact that Paul takes the time to tell the Philippians to rejoice. And he says it even twice, doesn't he? Because here's the thing. When you first heard those words, "rejoice in the Lord always," what's your first thought? How can I rejoice all the time? How can I rejoice always? Again, there's another verse in 1 Thessalonians. Paul says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. It was a constant thing for Paul to be always rejoicing at all times. And we can't do that, can we? But the reality is, if we pay attention to those three powerful words, rejoice in the Lord, always, in the Lord. Guys, don't we all know that in times of tragedy, in times of difficulty, it's hard to rejoice? Listen, I stand before you. There were times when my back was at its worst. This pastor was not rejoicing. This pastor was confessing his sin and saying, God, please. The reality is, it doesn't seem like we can rejoice always, but Paul says it time and time again. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. He says you have to get this. There is always an opportunity in your life to rejoice in the Lord. Amen? No matter what's going on in your life, physically, spiritually, emotionally, when you get your focus on the Lord, man, there is time to say, praise God. Praise God. And I don't want to use my situation throughout this entire message, but it's just a reminder to me to know that there were people that were praying and constantly asking me. I can't tell you the number of text messages I got. How are you feeling today? How are you doing today? Has God answered our prayers? And God did answer our prayers. And through that, I was able to rejoice that people were seeing God work in me and through me. And so to see God work in our lives is an opportunity to rejoice. So when those difficulties do come, it's an opportunity for the Lord. You're trying to show me something. You're trying to show me that I need to depend upon you and depend upon you completely. See, that's when we can trust in the Lord. Because listen, whatever's going on in your life that typically in the flesh you wouldn't rejoice in, the reason we can rejoice is because I like to remind myself, God isn't done yet. God's at work. God's doing something in your life. You might say, well, Pastor Rob, this has been going on for months. This has been going on for years. This has been going on forever. It just doesn't change. God isn't done yet. Rejoice in that. God's at work. God's doing something. It's a constant reminder to me and to you that God is gracious and he will take our situation. I mean, that's what Paul says. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is right there. The Lord is working. You may not feel it, you may not sense it, you may not think it, but the Lord is at hand and he's at work. It was several weeks ago, my wife was, a situation had happened at the office and it didn't turn out the way she had wanted it. Anybody ever have that happen at the office or in your life? Things didn't work out her way and she really did everything in her power to make sure that it would go her way. But things didn't go right. And she was very discouraged and very down. And as her husband, and I will admit, as her pastor, I want to encourage her in it. I'm like, and this is what we try to remind ourselves. If God didn't allow it in your life, you don't want it in your life. Right? So we rest in the fact that God saves us from things that we really thought we wanted. Only to find out that a couple weeks later, she actually got what she wanted. So, yeah, God's delay, God's timing, it didn't happen initially. In fact, the first situation was so bad, it's actually laughable that it actually did come to pass. Do you understand what I'm saying? It was so bad, there's no reason it should have come out this way. So it had to be God. And so that's a reminder to you and to me to say, God's not done. You don't know what's going on. I know what you want. God knows what you desire. God knows what you need. And he's going to give it to you at the time that you need it. And that's what we need to remember. We were talking about this at Wednesday night's Bible study. Paul was talking about it the last chapter of Romans chapter 16. He's talking about the grace of God. And the grace of God is available to us who believe. And it's like, do you believe that there is the grace of God? Do you believe in the grace of God? Do you believe the grace of God is available to you? It is, right? There's no limit to his grace. His grace is exceeding, abundant. But we talked on Wednesday night, in order to really embrace God's grace, you have to accept it. You have to walk in it. You have to embrace it. God's grace upon my life and God's grace upon your life is something that you hold on to. It's not a feeling that you get. It's like I think sometimes we think in our lives, we're going along, and once I know God's grace is on me, then I'll be okay. No, God's grace is always there for you. And to operate in that and know that his grace is there for us. See, a mother's love is unique. And that love comes from a strong relationship to Jesus Christ, right? As again, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Now, for some of you moms, dirty diapers isn't a reason to rejoice. Dirty rooms is not a reason for to rejoice. I walked into one of the kids' rooms of a family in our fellowship. I won't say names. I was shocked. And here's the funny thing. I'm a slob by nature, and this room shocked me. I was like, where's the bed? I was like, wow, I couldn't believe it. So you walk into a room like that and you go, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Right? It's no. Everything around us moves us away from the rejoicing in the Lord. But it's a choice, isn't it? Rejoice because it's an opportunity for God to show us. See, it's a proper focus, right? The unique love that a mother has a proper focus because it's focusing on the love of her children, the love of her family, it's focusing on the love of God. And that's a proper focus. But notice it says then in verse 5, let your gentleness be known to all men. And when I do think of moms, again, they're to be gentle. Moms are always there. They're always caring, right? How many of us skinned our knees when we were kids? We would go to mom, right? Mom puts a Band-Aid on it. Mom stops the bleeding, right? If you had a breakup in a relationship, you went to mom. You poured out your heart, and mom helped you get through it. It's like moms are always there to make things okay. Young kids, first thing they want to do, they never go to dads, right? Mom, she's the gentle one. She's the caring one. And that doesn't mean that all moms are super gentle, but there's a gentleness in them. There's a gentleness character in them. Do you know who also was very gentle? The Lord Jesus Christ. It says this in Isaiah. I love this verse. It says, speaking about the Messiah itself, Isaiah says, a bruised reed he will not break, a smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. He's gentle. See, we don't have a video of Jesus walking around Galilee. We don't have videos of Jesus walking into Jerusalem, into the temple, into the chaos. But I have a vision in my mind that when Jesus showed up on the scene, peace came with him. Gentleness came with him. Chaos all around him, but he brought a sense of peace. I believe it with all my heart because he was gentle and lowly in heart. He came to show us that grace. Gentleness should be a character. And listen, it's not something you become. Gentleness isn't something you become. It's something that you have. It's something that you possess. There's a gentleness there. And again, reminding us all that this is written to the church at Philippi. So not just moms. Guys, we're called to be gentle as well. So being gentle is being like Jesus. And so that's what we're also to be. Verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. I mean, to me, that's a mom verse. Be anxious for nothing. I mean, women, you tend to be anxious, right? You tend to, right? A little high strung. Not all women, I get it. But here's a verse that tells us, be anxious for nothing. This is a position that we're to be. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication. See, I wrote down here, a unique love of a mom is a mom who's constantly in prayer. I mean, you're raising kids. You better be praying, right? You're taking care of a family. You need to be praying. And to me, this quality really shows itself in grandmoms. You know, grandmoms have been there. Grandmoms have experienced it. Grandmoms have seen God work in their lives. Grandmoms have walked with the Lord, and they know what's happening. You know, so when they walk into a room, I feel like the presence of the Lord is with them. They bring that gentleness and they bring that strength. See, I love the fact here that moms and all of us are to be praying to God so that we're not anxious, so that we're not stressed out. We're at peace. See, something I learned, Even moms need prayer. Everyone needs prayer. And if I were to ask you today, how can I be praying for you? What would your answer be? How would you respond to that? See, sometimes I have a hard time with that. I have a hard time with my own prayers. And moms, I think it's the same thing. They're so concerned about others. They're so concerned about how other people are doing. They're not thinking of themselves. So mom, I encourage you, certainly get around other moms, ask for prayer, but to be asking others for prayer. Because notice what it says in verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Do you understand what kind of prayer it is to give thanks before the answer comes? I mean, that's expectant prayer, isn't it? That's a prayer that says, God, I'm going to trust you with the answer. I'm going to put it into your hands, and I'm going to be okay. I'm going to give you thanks before it happens. I think it's important that we give thanks after the answer comes, but I think it's most important to make sure that our prayers are given thanks to God for things he's done or for things he is going to continue to do. Because it also says that if you put your requests and make them known to God, what's the next thing that happens? You see that in verse 7? And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So the results of prayer are a peace that you receive in your heart. Don't we all want that? Don't we all want to live in a place of peace and not a place of chaos? We live in a world of chaos, right? Chaos is all around us. And for us as Christians to live at peace is so contrary to the world that we live in. But we have the ability because we're trusting in the Lord. We're not trusting in our stock market. We're not trusting in our bank account. We're not trusting in our job. We're trusting in the Lord. See, God has the freedom to change our circumstances. There's a gentleman in our church that we're praying for whether God wants him to remain in his job or move on. I mean, he's been in his job for a long time. But he's also willing to say, God, if you want to move me, move me. That's living in peace. Because to be honest with you, I'd be looking at him going, dude, you're close to retirement. I'd hold on as long as you can. That's Rob, okay? But if God wants him to move, God's going to take care of him. That's peace. That's living in peace, going, I trust you, Lord. Even if I do everything that the world would say don't do, I trust you with the outcome. Mom, if you're here today, are you trusting in the Lord? Are you thanking him for all the things you have and even the things you don't have yet? Because I think a thankful heart is so important. This is one of my favorite verses. In fact, I call it one of my life verses. I have a ring that has this verse on it. I love the idea of this verse. Commit your ways to the Lord. So that's a prayer, right? Lord, I'm going to give you my day. Lord, I'm going to give you my test. Lord, I'm going to give you this situation in my life. Lord, I'm going to give you this relationship. Whatever it is, commit your ways to the Lord. It's that middle verse that's the hardest for us, though. Trust also in him. Wait a minute. You mean we got to give it to God and then let it go? Yes. Listen, I'm famous for giving it to God and then helping him out a lot. You know, right? God takes too long. So we got to do things. Gosh, I said I wasn't going to do this and I'm doing it. You know, again with my back situation, the pain was so bad. I really didn't want the surgery for many, many, many weeks. I was like, Lord. And then when they finally scheduled the surgery and it was so far away, and I was like, okay, that's just God taking care of it. Okay, I'm trusting in you, Lord. I'm trusting in you, Lord. And then when I was like, okay, this is too hard, Lord. I can't do it, Lord. The hard part is trusting him. I guess the default is always trusting that God's going to do it the way he wants to do it. But then the third line is the best. And he shall bring it to pass. So commit our ways to the Lord. Now I got to trust you, Lord, and I'm going to trust that you're going to bring it to pass. What I love about this, and he shall bring it to pass, this it isn't your it. Okay? This is God's it. God's going to bring his it to pass, not your it to pass. You give it to God, you trust him, and whatever the outcome is God's, not yours. It's a great lesson, isn't it? Right? I mean, how selfish it would be, and the Lord will bring your will to pass. No, that's ridiculous. He's going to bring his will to pass. So you see why this is one of my favorite verses, because I have to live by this. Commit it to God. Listen, I can get as frustrated as you can at life. It's hard. It's difficult. You wonder what God's doing. Is there anybody in here that got the newsletter for Suzelle from Suzelle? You can raise your hands if you did. In her letter, you know, I love her to death. She's such a great sister. She was sitting up on the roof of her house. Now, her roof of their house is not like this. Her roof of their house is like this. So when I say she's on the roof of her house, it's not like she's sitting up on a peak, you know. It's a flat roof. She's sitting up on the roof of her house after 2 years of ministry. And in the letter, she says that I'm asking God, am I really doing your will? I love this woman's heart. Seeing everything that God has done, seeing how it's impacted so many children's lives, seeing how the community has been turned around, she still sits up there and goes, am I doing your will? We're all in that boat, guys. We could be seeing so many things happening in our lives for God's glory, and we're still going to ask, am I doing what you want me to do? And then she said the Lord started to show her his will and the children that have come to the Lord and the baptisms and the education and the Christian children that are ministering to their other siblings and just their parents. And it's just, she's seeing all these things. She's like, oh, Lord, you're so good. Guys, that's the reality. We pray. We give it to God. His will gets done. And we go, it's all for your glory anyway. Because honestly, this just came to me. I believe it's such a selfish thing to think, am I doing enough for God? Can you ever do enough for God? We can't. Billy Graham would tell you he didn't pray enough in his life. I got to tell you, I'm in serious trouble if Billy Graham didn't pray enough. So I'm not even close to the prayers that Billy Graham prayed. Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust also in him. He will bring it to pass. So if that doesn't minister to moms, it certainly should minister to all of us. Because moms love their kids, don't they? I would imagine, and again, I don't have statistics, but I would imagine 80 to 90% of the prayer requests that I see and I get from moms are all about their kids. Never have I mean, I can't say never, but I can't imagine a mom coming and saying, well, pray for me. Or, it's always praying about their kids. Praying about their future, praying about their marriage, praying about their health, praying about their next coming up exam. It's always praying about their kids because they have a heart for their kids. And I believe that moms, who we see here, pray to God and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will come to you. Moms are at peace when? When their kids are at peace. Right? How many moms stay up all night till your kids come home safe from being out at night? You're not at peace until they're in the house, right? And so that's a mom's heart. That is the Lord's heart. He wants us to be at peace. He wants us all to be at peace. Moms, you will sacrifice everything for your kids. I can't tell you the number of moms I've talked to that said, I don't get any gifts at Christmas because I want them all for my kids. It's all about their kids. That's God's heart for us, isn't it? God wants us. I don't know what you're saying, Matt, but I'd like to hear it later. I'm sure it's good. God wants that for us, guys. He wants us to live at peace. I think God looks down at us and says, why are you living in such stress, in such anxiety, in such depression? I have such peace for you. And then the last thing, and to me, I think it's the most important, verses 8 and 9. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, lovely, of good report, any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Look at this verse and do your best to hide this in your heart. Listen, because when you look out at the world and when you look out there and you see what's going on, none of these characteristics really exist. There's not truth out there. There's not purity out there. So it's saying if you're going to meditate on anything, and meditate means what? To think about. It means to dwell on. Our problem is we dwell on everything but these things. And Paul's saying, dwell on these things. Your mind has the capacity, now women, you might challenge me on this, but your mind has the capacity to dwell really only on one thing. And it's either going to be a good thing or it's going to be a bad thing. And I find in my life, and maybe in your life too, that a lot of times we dwell on the negative. We dwell on what we don't have. We dwell on the things that aren't happening. We dwell on the things that are causing us pain. And Paul is saying, don't do that. Dwell on the things that are true. Dwell on the things that are lovely. If you look at this verse 8, if it does not breathe the characteristic of Jesus Christ, I don't know what does. And if our focus is on Christ, if our focus is on Jesus, then guess what? We're not going to be anxious. We're not going to be stressed out. We're going to find that peace in our lives. See, the reality is the Bible teaches that we can control our thoughts. See, the world wants to tell you can't control your thoughts. It all has to do with your upbringing. It's all the past. Well, if you're thinking about the past, you might get discouraged. But if you're thinking about the Lord, if you're meditating upon His Word, if you're being reminded of who you are, I mean, just this part, this first part, whatever things are true, what is true in your life? Think about that. What's true? And you're probably having to fight the tendency to speak about what isn't true. But what is true in your life? Because what is true is, number one, you're a Christian, you're saved by the grace of Jesus Christ, by the grace of God. That's truth. That's encouraging. What else is true in your life? Because we can come up with a long list of things that aren't true. And again, it just goes down the list. It is useless to adopt this defeatist attitude, saying that we simply cannot help it. These are just the thoughts that we have, the world that we live in. We can't help it. The thing is, we can. You know, there's a thing out there called positive thinking, right? Well, I think that has a bad connotation. Just think positive thoughts and you'll be good. Well, what if we think positively? Instead of positive thinking, let's think positively. Let's think about the things that we do have. Let's think about the things that God has done for us. As I look back on my life, I see a lot of things that God has done. And that encourages me that God's going to continue to do it. I mean, Blake, your prayer was so great. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're doing. And thank you for what you're going to do. And because it reminds us, well, God, you're so good. You've done so much. I'm going to think positively because I don't want to think negatively. That's what Paul is saying here. A person cannot entertain evil thoughts and thoughts about the Lord at the same time. I used to have a friend. I still have the friend, actually. Shouldn't have said that. I have a friend that anytime he has a temptation, anytime he has a thought, you know, that he knows isn't godly, he immediately stops and he says the name Jesus 3 times slowly. And by the time he gets to the 3rd time saying Jesus, he's totally forgotten about that temptation. It works for him. Maybe it'll work for you. But the idea is, don't focus on the temptation, focus on Jesus. Focus on the Lord. Focus on the Scriptures. I can't tell you the number of people I have told that when you get yourself in trouble or you get yourself in a difficult situation, give me a text, call me, I'll pray with you. And anytime anybody asks me to pray, I do my best to send a prayer through text, even if it's a text, to get that prayer into their minds. Because that's what we need. We need to be thinking about what God is going to do and trusting that God is on the job. Moms, I know it's hard. There was actually a family at our church, and this past week, you know, social media, you know everybody's life, or most of it, I guess. And this mom had a terrible day. Car trouble, all kinds of different difficulties. But one of her last posts at the end of the day was her sitting at lunch with her 2 young kids, and her son praying a prayer for the meal, and her little daughter both saying amen at the end. And in the whatever they call it thing at the bottom, she said, this made it all worthwhile. If we give God an opportunity, if we give God the time, He can take all the bad and at the end make it worthwhile. So don't focus on what you're in. Don't focus on what you're experiencing, all the negative. Focus on the Lord. Because it's at those times that you find the strength of God come in up under you and be there for you. You've all experienced it. We've all experienced when God shows up in a powerful way. And that's what we just got to seek in. Let him come in and let him take that time. If you have an evil thought that comes into your mind, immediately get rid of it and start meditating on the person of Jesus Christ. Start thinking about him. Maybe this week coming up, it's going to be a stressful week. Focus on the Lord. I have a tendency, I don't know about you, but I have a tendency when I have a situation coming up to think about the worst things that are going to happen in it. Right? This is going to go wrong, that's going to go wrong, I got to get ready for all these things, only to find out what? Not one of those things even happens. So instead, just go, Lord, I'm going to do what your word says. Don't worry about what I'm going to say. I'm going to trust that you're going to give me the words when I need it. Right? So here Paul says, meditate on these things. Put your mind on these. Dwell upon these things. All of these things are about focusing on Jesus. Here's the thing. Paul started out in verse 7 telling us that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart. That's God's part. Right? He's going to guard your heart. But our part, your part, my part, is to work on this. God can't change this. He can change this. He can't change your thoughts. He won't invade your thoughts. If you don't want to meditate on him, he's not going to force it. Otherwise, he'd force the unbelieving world to believe in him. It's that you've got to do this part, and God will do this part. So as we close our Mother's Day service, be reminded of the young moms, especially a lot of you older women who have been there, done that, been down this road. I think about the younger moms whose kids are being sick right now and having a hard time with different things and all these different medical issues, and it's like these moms are going through it, and it's not easy. But let's pray for them. Let's encourage them. Because here's this. I'm Tim Brenner bringing in the Proverbs 31 woman one time. Gotta love this verse. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. At the end of the day, the best thing any mom, any woman, any Christian can have is a good fear of God. A good reverence for the Lord. God, you are God. You are all powerful. You can do anything and you want. You can do anything in my life you want. That's a beauty. That is a characteristic that we all must have. Let me remind you, in this little list here, Paul doesn't suggest these things. He says, do these things, right? He says, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known. Be anxious for nothing. The peace of God will be with you. He's telling you these things are available to us if we will just embrace them and accept them. My prayer for each and every one of us, including the moms, is that your day is so blessed by the presence of God, by the love of the Lord, that at the end of the day you can look back and go, look what God has done. Because God's at work. He loves us so very much. He doesn't want to leave us the way we are. He wants us to change. He wants us to be those ones that are living the gentle life around a world of chaos. And that's how we bring others to see and have a relationship with God. This last story I want to share with you. Yesterday I got a text from a gentleman. He's a Christian, and he started getting some text messages from some friends about, you know, how can you really believe the Bible? How can you believe God created everything? I mean, the evolutionists, this, and everything evolves from something. And this poor guy was like inundated with all these kinds of questions. And it was a great reminder as I encouraged him and my wife encouraged him and we were encouraging him to, you know, some things to share. The reality is, we aren't going to convince anybody to believe in God. That's God's job. It's only our job to lead them. And yes, the scriptures are great. But if an unbeliever doesn't even believe in the Bible, it's hard to speak from the Bible. But you are the living Bible. The experience that you've had with God is what really speaks to them. And when I hear someone who says, I've got these friends that are asking me about God and challenging me about my faith, you know what they're really asking? How come you're happy and I'm not? And how can I convince you not to be happy like me? When in reality, it should be the other way around. We should be able to say, listen, I believe the Bible is true because this and this and this, because of prophecy, because of what the Word says, and because this is what's happened in my life. Since I've given my life to the Lord, I have the peace that surpasses understanding, don't you? That's unexplainable to someone. When you can say, I went through this tragedy, and man, I saw the Lord show up, and he gave me the strength to do this, and man, what an opportunity it was for me to share my faith with my unbelieving family, or whatever it is. That's what really speaks to people. So it's your life that is the living Bible, that is the continuation of Acts in today. That's what people want to know. And so I pray that we would all, again, meditate on those things throughout this week and see what God will do in you and through you. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the moms, Lord, and just the unique kind of love that they experience and that they display. God, I pray that you would encourage all of us to continue to fight the good fight, to believe that you are a God that does the impossible, to believe that you're going to take our situations and turn them around in your timing. Lord, again, I'm going to just quote that verse, Psalm 37:5. Commit your ways to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Lord, we ask, bring your will to pass, not only today, but for all the days until you bring us home. Bless us this day, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.